Right, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together to hear your word. And Lord, this morning as we start the book of Job, ask you, Lord, to open our eyes, to open our ears, so that we may see and hear your word, and open our hearts so that we can understand. And Lord, as we go through the book, let us understand the purpose of this life. Let us understand the purpose of sufferings, tests, and trials, and persecution. And Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen our faith and strengthen our commitment to you. I pray, Lord, that you will help us in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, we're going to be looking at the book of Job. And this morning we're going to be looking at our first part. There'll probably be about seven tapes in the series. And we're going to be looking at the disasters of Job. And the book of Job is an interesting book, often misunderstood, but I believe that we need to look at it more carefully and the issues that it raises to understand our Christianity and to give light on human sufferings, even to understand why sufferings, calamities, and sickness happen to godly people. There's this perspective in the world that good things should happen to good people and bad things should happen to bad people. So if bad things happen to good people, well, then there's something wrong. The purpose of the book is to show the unfathomable wisdom of God's providence and the benevolence of God, even in the trials brought upon his children. It also explains why God allows righteous people to suffer, to expose their frailty and sinfulness, to strengthen their faith, and to purify them. And so there is a purpose in tests and trials. And in everything in our lives, there is purpose. And there is purpose in tests and trials in our life. Through trials, God teaches us patience. And he reveals himself as the deliverer of his people when he is called upon to help in a time of need. So I want to start by looking at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus suffered, and the Bible tells us that we are not above our master, and so we also are going to have tests and trials in this life. And the name Job is a transliteration of a Hebrew word that means the hated or the persecuted one. Yet even in a severe test, Job is determined to hold on to his faith in God. And that's what we should purpose to do. Whatever comes in this life, we should understand that there's purpose for God to test our faith, to strengthen our faith. And that there's purpose in us in these tests and trials, and that whatever happens, we should never give up on our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, tests and trials, however stressful, teach us what is inside our hearts, what you really believe. You see, it's easy to go out there and tell people that you are a Christian when everything is going well in your life. It's very easy to say, praise the Lord, when things are going well. But let strife and calamity and tests and trials and persecution come into your life. Well, that's a whole different story. Are you able still to say that God is good when everything in your life is really bad? Are you still able to hold on to your Christian faith in the greatest test? You see, that's the test. What is in your heart? You say that you love Jesus. It's easy to love him when things are well. How difficult is it to remain faithful when everything around you is upside down? In other words, will you be a Christian in persecution? It's easy to say I'm a Christian when everyone else is a Christian. Can you be a Christian as the last man standing? And so we need to pray for wisdom and the wisdom of God as we go through this book. that it may bring understanding to us and strengthen our faith. And the book of Job is a history of afflictions and the example of patience. It's about the sufferings and the deliverance of Job the prophet. So let's read the book of Job, Job chapter 1 and from verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Well, this is fact. God says that Job existed. He lived before the giving of the law, for there are no references to Jewish rites, manners, customs, religious ceremonies, priesthood, festivals, fasts, Sabbaths, or anything else commanded in the law of Moses. The reference to religion and God in the book make it clear that Job's religion and concept of God were the same as that which prevailed in the days of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Israel before the giving of the law. And so it is assumed that Job was somewhere after the flood, within a few hundred years after the flood. Job was the one who offered sacrifices as the head of his own family and on behalf of his children, as did Noah, Abraham, and other pre-law patriarchs. And Job was a man who lived in Uz, and the events that this book deals with took place there, probably in the area, the modern-day area, around the border of Iraq and Saudi Arabia. So these events took place. That's what God is telling us. And in verse 1, God gives us fact, an historical background, and then he tells us something about Job. God himself says he was perfect, upright, one who feared God, and one who shunned evil. And the word perfect here, used to describe Job, means utter simplicity, sincerity, being free from guile and evil intention towards anyone, having no part lacking in outward life, conduct, and religion. Perfect here does not mean sinless perfection. So many of these people have these theories that they haven't sinned for 10 years. And some of them use this scripture to say that Job was perfect, they perfect. But it does not mean sinless perfection or being without any tendencies towards evil, because Job was human, just like you and me. But he was complete and he was entire before God. Job was not only upright as a chief among his people, but pious towards God. He was not only kind to his family, but just to his neighbors and benevolent to the poor. So God says that he was perfect. In other words, he was entire and he had a true heart after God. He was perfect before God. Verse 2. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance